University of Arizona student David Shalouf went to Libya for the first time last December. Shalouf's father, Mohammed, fled Libya in 1976 after taking part in anti-Qaddafi student protests and raised David in the U.S. They always planned to return to Libya once Qaddafi was no longer in power. Shalouf flew into Egypt and took a shuttle from Cairo to the Libyan border. When he got there, heavily armed guards dressed in full military fatigues took him into a small room. They questioned him intensely about his family origins and the nature of his trip. Feeling as though he might not make it across the border, Shalouf rolled up his sleeve to reveal a bracelet that said, "Libya the Free," the slogan of the Libyan Revolution. He then held up his fingers in a peace sign. To his surprise, he says the soldiers burst into smiles and started hugging him.
The officer came around the desk and, you know, he said some really kind things. He said, you know, we fought for the Libyans in this country and for the Libyans outside who have never come home. And, you know, he looked at me and he said, "Hey, you know, welcome home, my son." And he stamped my passport.
Shalouf's uncle met him at the border and took him to the family house in Benghazi, where he met his family for the first time.
We pulled into the driveway, and if there wasn't 50 or 60 family members just waiting for me there. And, you know, I got out of the car, and it was just so overwhelming. I mean, the first person that came to me was my grandma. I like to pretend I'm a tough guy, but I got a little misty-eyed, you know, when my grandma gave me a hug and a kiss.
The next day, Shalouf's uncle took him to the Katiba compound, a Qaddafi stronghold where the main battle for Benghazi happened in February of 2011. He says they decided to go into the complex and tour the underground jail cells.
It was the most depressing, just unbelievable, dark place I could ever think to be. And there was people stuck in there for 20, 30 years, you know, no charges, no trial, no nothing. And you start to think about what it would be like to spend that time in there for, you know, maybe you said something about the government is all you did. And you spent 30 years in that hole, you know.
After that, Shalouf and his uncle went to Qaddafi's house in the compound. He picked up whatever rubble he could find and says he smashed what little was left of the house.
It was my little way of saying, "Take this, Qaddafi, for, you know, the oppression you've done of the people and, you know, the fact that, it, you know, 33 years I had to wait to see my family." I mean, that was all because of him.
More than 1 year after the beginning of the Arab Spring revolutions, many questions remain about what the future governments of these countries will look like, especially in light of Islamist Party victories in Tunisia and Egypt. However, Dr. Juan Cole, a history professor at the University of Michigan, says there are a few significant factors that help explain these early victories.
The Muslim fundamentalists have done well, not because they're radical, but because they were willing to play parliamentary politics, to canvass neighborhoods, to put out campaigns, advertisements, to put forward platforms for social change, and because they stand for an end to corruption.
Cole says corruption was a big part of what started the revolutions, especially in Tunisia, where the Islamist Party, An-Nahda, won a majority of assembly seats.
They voted for them because they're known not to be corrupt. Corruption was a major problem in these countries. One of the reasons for the revolution really was you had to give people bribes for everything. People were very tired of it.
That's a point Shalouf wants people and the future governments of these countries to remember. He says it was ordinary citizens who took to the streets to make these revolutions possible, and he met many of them while he was in Libya.
They're no NATO rebels, as you would say. They were just guys who wanted and were willing to risk their lives to make Libya a better place. That hope still exists with the people. And I hope that the government, the transitional government, the elected government, they never forget that this revolution was started by the people because of, you know, a thirst for freedom.
Shalouf hopes to return to Libya again someday. In the meantime, the Arab Spring revolutions continue to evolve, from newly elected governments in Tunisia and Egypt to ongoing battles in Syria. I'm Britton Eakin, Arizona Public Media.